B-Pod Studios.
Well, you're at work.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand. 95, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Zo, what's going on?
What's going on, Beetle?
How you doing? I gotta say, I stayed up late last night. You know why?
How late?
Like 1?
Yeah, I was up till probably 12:43, I think I finally went to bed.
All right, so we're about the same time.
It's weird. I can't sleep during these days. It's
Because I got sucked in on the Tiger. On the King of Tigers himself. We'll get to it. We got to get to it today. Looking forward to that conversation with you. That's all I got to say.
We got a big Tiger in studio today, too, man. He looks like Fat Joe, definitely, today. He's got the headset on. You need to come in with a fake gold chain, Joe Murray, next time. Because he's got that look, man.
So I just had to switch to a backup camera, so I can't.
Why?
I can't see anything at the moment. Yeah, I got to adjust it first break, but it'll be better.
I can't see anything either on my iPad. I don't know what the hell's going on.
All right, well, whatever it might be. Anyways, though, let's start with this. I want to rip off a topic from Felger Maz, if we could.
Yeah, let's do it.
Today on a sports note.
We kind of regurgitate everything between all our shows, right?
Well, I thought it was an interesting conversation. I heard a few minutes of it yesterday. About, do you want to cancel out the rest of the season in the NBA and the NHL? Do you want to wipe that out and start over on time? And I got to admit, yesterday, we didn't even really consider this the way that they presented it. Or do you want to have two shortened seasons? So you wrap up this season somehow when you're right. able to get back to doing business. And you're able to crown champions and go through some semblance of the playoffs, whether that's the full deal or not, I don't know.
Correct.
But then you shorten up the second season, which would be next year in the NBA and the NHL, in order to have a conclusion to this season.
Yeah.
What's better?
Okay, and I'm going to relate this sort of to school. Okay, so I got a fifth grader here at home. We now know that these kids aren't potentially going back till what, May 4th, maybe the first day kids go back. I got a freshman in high school.
If they go back.
So the fact that, and also a sophomore in college who's home studying online because that's what they're doing now from UMass. So she's not graduating anytime soon, nor is my freshman. And I think families are affected by these kids that are, you know, 12th graders that you've been looking to your high school graduation, your prom, and all these things might be canceled for them. And it's going to affect the hell out of them, I think, psychologically and mentally. And, you know, it puts you in sort of a depressing state as a parent, as a family. It's a big date for the, you know, kids that are going to be moving on to college. It really doesn't affect, like, the freshmen and the sophomores. You see what I'm saying? This is going to be relative to what your fan base considers the state of your team to be. Like, I think the Bruins, obviously, and we've talked about them the past couple days, their window is freaking right now. So for them, I want that season to start right back up, and I want it shortened, and I want them to have a chance at a championship. For the Celtics, you kind of worry because, man, if you shorten it up and you kind of extend it, though, you know, Kevin Durant might be coming back to play against you. There are things that could work against you.
Right.
Same thing down in Tampa with the hockey team. You know, you're going to get a guy back that was going to be out. Maybe you would miss him in the second round, you know, if things lined up or whatever the hell the matchups would have been. I can't remember fully, but I think it's going to affect people based on, you know, how you view your team at this time. For me personally, I would like to see two sports seasons because I think as athletes, you just can't say we're going to pull the plug on you and you're going to hit a brick wall. Like that gets Tuukka Rask like starting to think about, well, maybe I'll just freaking retire. Instead of this guy's between the pipes, he's playing the best he's ever played. Here's a guy just talking about shutting it down potentially in a year. Like, this gets you thinking about different things when you pull the plug on teams, on seasons. MLB said, what, get ready for mid-May? So, yeah, Manfred, that's their target date?
Aggressive in those public comments, because everything that we've seen reported is that they're talking to the union about June. So,
which makes sense, and I know that realistically for the NBA and Cuban has talked about, you know, potentially I would take the under off a beginning of June start. Why does hockey all of a sudden just, you know, and Billy Jaffe's tied into people, and he's friends with Bruce Cassidy and him, and he's like, they're not going to play. Like, you just think the hockey's not going to play, but these other leagues are attempting to play.
Maybe. I mean, we don't know that.
That's the way it seems to me.
But
don't you get that feeling from all three other sports that baseball's going to try and jam it?
There's an element in hockey with the ice that is real.
I get it.
So that doesn't apply to any of the other sports. With the NBA, they do seem the most aggressive in trying to figure out how they're going to finish the season.
Yeah.
What little things have sort of leaked out indicate that they are dead set on having a season finish and having a champion this year. I think it's actually beneficial, though, to both Boston teams, the Celtics and the Bruins, if they finish the year. Obviously, yeah. For the Bruins, for, you know, reasons we don't even have to discuss. They're one of the best teams in the league. Why do we have to even, you know, consider why this would be a positive for them? The Bruins do not want the season to get canceled, and Bruins fans certainly don't want the season to be canceled. Even if, you know, Stamkos is back, whatever it might be, that wouldn't matter. It's a matter of you want to play this thing out. Big Jim yesterday said you don't want to be the Expos of 94 from the strike year.
Right.
That the, well, woulda, shoulda, coulda, that could have been their year. No, you don't want to be that. You want to know the conclusion of it, even if it doesn't work out. I would also say that if the NBA is really going to go forward with shortening up next year and really having very little of an off season, what's their playoff system look like? If the playoff system changes a little bit or gets shortened up,
yeah,
I think it could be an advantage to the Celtics.
It's kind of cool. Like you talked about, you know, Sweet 16 in the NBA, like a March Madness type scenario. I think all that is in play. And my mindset is so pro sports based. And, you know, I've been talking to some of the Patriots guys and trying to get an understanding of what their training regime is and how things have changed for them since you shut the building down. Some guys coming off rehab. And I heard Brian Kelly, and I'm not a big Brian Kelly fan, head coach of Notre Dame. He was on with Van Pelt last night, and he talked about the Notre Dame season. Now, Notre Dame is supposed to play in Dublin, Ireland on August 29th against Navy. And he goes, people have no clue or understanding about our target dates. He goes, you can't just have us show up and say we're going to have 2 weeks of workouts and then get into our camp and what we do when we bring our athletes in to get them ready for preseason. He goes, we need 4 hard weeks of conditioning. Our strength and conditioning guys and medical guys actually need 6 weeks because they got to get guys in for 2 weeks, evaluate them, treat them, and get them up and running. He goes, we need that whole process. He goes, right now, what's odd to us as a staff is I have unlimited calls right now to all our recruits. We could do this. We could FaceTime. Before, we weren't allowed to do all this stuff. They could call us. He goes, we're dealing with all these different types of changes. He goes, but this hard date is coming up quickly here. And you sort of have to set goals ahead. Mentally, you need some sort of preparation for a season. And instead of telling guys that we're going to just shut everything down, he goes, we're a 6-week ramp up prior to the start of the season. You're expecting us to kick off the thing in Dublin. And who knows what the conditions of Dublin are going to be.
Right.
You know, from, you know, three months from now. We have no clue where this thing's going. I just think it's fascinating that you got three different sports trying to juggle seasons here at their end, and baseball's just trying to get it ramped up. And I just feel like baseball's going to be cramming this thing in. I don't know, Boris had some comments, and I really don't want to see baseball going into the month of December or November. That will kill it. That will kill it.
I don't know how you would even pull that off. I mean,
I don't either.
It's bad when they get into some of the World Series games and it's 30 degrees out or worse.
Well, you gotta play in domes then. It's gotta be restricted to neutral site domes or something.
You'd have to have neutral site games is what you'd have to do. I didn't even really think of that, but I'm guessing that they would consider it in order to be able to play.
You wanna put a summary on baseball? Go play the damn thing down in Tampa Bay.
That would be the worst idea. I mean, you could also play it in neutral site. You could play to Miami, you know? You could have it in neutral site places.
Houston's covered, right?
Yeah, Houston's a dome. You can play it in Houston.
Houston's awesome. That ballpark's awesome.
You want to reward those people down in Houston?
No, but I'm saying that what the hell play a regular season at for? So you could jockey for home field advantage then does it really matter if you're not really at your home field? You see what I'm saying? It's different. You're playing at Yankee Stadium in that short porch out in Wright or Fenway Park, and you got the monster, and you play an entire season backed up against the wall. Now you're going to have wide-ass open fields out there in the outfield. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I guess one of the things we didn't really consider yesterday was the possibility of shortening next season, and because that's what it would require to do this. We'll talk more about it with your calls, 617-779-0985. As Zoe mentioned, there's some Rob Manfred comments. He spoke to Scott Van Pelt on ESPN. We'll get to that today. We will certainly get to the Tiger King. Holy smokes.
What an S show, really.
Like, what a national treasure that thing is.
We used to go to Disney World all the time when the kids were a lot smaller.
Save it.
And you get about 8-10 miles outside Disney, you got Tiger King people out there. I'm telling you, it is. It's wacky. I got stories for you.
All right, we'll get to that at the end of the hour. Don't go anywhere. Your call is 617-779-0985. Two shortened seasons.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're there by my side, every way. I knew that you will not forsake me. I give you my life, would not think twice. Love is all I need, believe me. I may not say it quite as much as I should, but when I say I love you, darling, that means for good.
You're probably saying, what the hell is this?
Yeah, what the F is this?
Wait, you're saying that?
Oh, I know what this is. Hold on.
Why don't you tell people what it is?
Okay, so this is Nick Lachey. I have no clue. I thought T-Bone may have one of those bad rejoins where he got the like kids bop instead of the real artist.
No, he got the real deal.
So this is Nick Lachey, I swear. And we came up with our former producer, who's now a company man, and he thinks he's a higher up.
He's a company man.
And our boss. Yeah. This is Jim Louse, one of Jim Louse's wedding songs that was recovered. He came over being home. You know, you come across things. You're like cleaning stuff out. I think Jim was cleaning out his basement and his garage and all that. And he's got one of those dumpsters. And I'm thinking about doing that now, too. I could empty half this house because we're hoarders. And Jim came across this whole wedding list of songs. And we're going to bump back with them today.
He came across the CD is what he came across.
Because I've been to some bad weddings. I've been to some really bad weddings. I've been to some really good ones. Mine was a humdinger. I had a live band and a DJ. It was awesome. That open bar, oh, that's the key. That, I mean, you know right away when you go in. Full food. I had one of those big boats full of oysters and shrimp, you know, when everybody walked in, so you're eating right away. But this is quintessential Boston fanboy Jim, sports guy, the sports sponge.
Yeah.
Because we're going to play some songs in there, and you're going to understand why. You could go to any town in Massachusetts, and this would be your typical townie wedding. And that's Jim. Warwick, Rhode Island. Jim and his buddies, who on Jim's bachelor party, pulled over to finish to watch Clay Buchholz pitch a freaking no-hitter through a window at a sports bar. You think I'd ever get out of a limo to watch Clay Buchholz?
That's you. You're not typical New England sports fan.
You know what? I would if it was Roger Clemens. But you think I'm going to get out of a limo to watch Clay Buchholz finish a no-hitter? No, thank you.
They stopped at a bar to see the end of the game. I don't know what the big deal is. You keep bringing that
up. Stop
the limo
to get out. I mean, it'd be different if it's like Game 7 of the World Series. I could kind of
understand. Okay, what year was that? What year did Buchholz throw the no-hitter?
Joe Murray, you're there. You're just sitting there.
Oh, what year was that?
That was 07.
07.
That was still right in the the heart of Red Sox fandom in, you know, pandemonium in this town. Yes. I bet a large, overwhelming majority of our listeners would have done the same thing at that time.
So
in 2007.
We have this pandemic right now. We keep talking about the curve and the spike. We're trying to flatten that curve. I think that spike hit at 03, 04? It started to come down a little bit. And I would say 07 would be after that turn. Then you really balance that thing out, flatten it out around 13. I know 13, that wasn't magical. That was just, hey, they won a championship. Wow, that was uncalled for. That one came out of nowhere. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, 07 expectations are still high. You had Lester, right?
That was his second start as well, career start.
Oh, yeah. Good for him.
And he was a a top prospect, and people were excited about that. Zoe just doesn't care for the Red Sox and never really cared about the Red Sox the way the rest of us did. So that's why you don't
good
get
buddies with Mo Vaughn and Roger. I like those guys. They always took great care of me. Fairly Brothers just to hang out with those guys at games.
Fan experience, which is why you would not understand Jim's normal fan experience.
To your point, I would never have the rally cap on, inside out, backwards. Yeah, I wouldn't do that stuff. And maybe that's just me being weird.
That's why when you say this every time, I say, yeah, you sound out of touch when you say this.
No, I'm not out of touch. You got to understand, I'm not saying I was brought up differently. I was a big Pirates fan growing up. I love baseball. But when I started playing pro sports here, you kind of like, you look at all those other guys. See, I don't become like, oh, my God, I got to be a fan of them. Or I got to be a Celtics fan or a Bruins fan. They're like, they're your friends. They're your peers. So I always had that sort of, I don't say detachment, but now, yeah, I started calling games for the Patriots and that, covering them, doing pre and post, doing all access, which I love doing. And, yeah, you become sort of more of a fan of that. But I'm a little different, all right?
Oh, we know.
Yeah. And you got to deal with it. You either like it or you don't. You keep us on if you like it. You turn us off if you don't. There it is. I think people like it.
David in New Bedford on the phones on the NBA season. And
sure. Good morning. Thoughts are, I think the NBA should do everything to try to make sure its season continues. And I also believe that as an NBA fan, it would be great to see the NBA adjust its start time for the season and have the season start around Christmas time and go through the summer and give some competition to Major League Baseball. As baseball is so boring to watch, it would be great to have, like, the Celtics on in July or August and have the NBA Finals in August.
But that's never going to happen on a regular basis. That would not be great. And I'll tell you why that would not be great. Because you would not hold the TV audience. That's why. People are not making sure to be home to watch a game in August. It's not a good month for that.
Mm-mm. People are finishing vacation. You're not looking forward to the start of school. You actually, I think more people check out in the month of August more so than any other month regarding sports. Football's starting to ramp up again. There's still excitement about football. But football's what? Preseason. You'll peek in, but you don't get hooked like you do. Okay, week one, baby, let's go. DraftKings is up. We're running. We're doing our teams. We're doing fantasy, stuff.
It'd be fine if it happened this year. If it happened this year.
Yes.
And they needed to have the NBA Finals in August to be able to have it. I get it. But you're not then going to play another full season like David suggests. You're not going to start on Christmas Day and play through August again.
Correct.
What do you do the following year? That's the new schedule?
Right.
So, no, you have to adjust your expectations here. If you want to finish this year, you're also going to impact next year in a pretty significant way because they're going to want to get back on schedule. Pushing baseball is in no one's best interest but baseball fans.
Yeah, we're
like,
so
no
we're
one
so...
wants to push baseball. And baseball doesn't want to be pushed. The only people that want that are us, the fans, the people that pulled over on the side of the road during the bachelor party in 07 to watch the conclusion of Clay Buchholz's no-hitter.
See, I think the NBA, though, going into August would be huge for them ratings-wise. And not to mention everything that we've lost, though, over the last couple of weeks here. Like, if that thing can spread into August, I mean, I'm even talking gambling-wise.
Yeah.
In general, sports fans, to Zoe's point, I know people will go away, but maybe because of the economy and things of that degree, people might not be going away as much and might be home more.
But you're talking about one time.
Yeah, just for this season only, yes.
No, I'm with Joe on it. I think it would explode this time because I think, and this is what we do, coming off bad things that happened to us in this country, even going back to 9/11, you embrace sports when it comes back, right?
True.
This thing would ramp up again.
All true.
And it's still, even if we had the NBA Finals, say the Celtics are hot, we're so based our lives on the school calendar where September will full go, especially with football starting up. I'd be banging out 3 weeks vacation in the months of July and August. Probably wouldn't even be in. Celtics could potentially be in the playoffs and finals or flagship station. Like, that stuff is real. Like, people vacay. You don't think Felger's going away? You think Mazz are going to go away? You don't think Rich is going to be in Nantucket? Rich ain't might never leave Nantucket for 2 years based on the way he's reacting and everything, and I don't blame him. He's got to protect things. We're in weird times. We really are. And I don't know what the real answer is. I really don't. It's up to each sport to figure it out for themselves. But what I do know is you can't push baseball back into freaking November, December. That's ridiculous. Shorten the season.
Which I think they're going to do, but it's a question of how many games. Yeah, how many games do you have to play for it to be a legitimate season? How many games do you need?
100 to 120, I'd say.
Yeah. So if you're talking about
more than half,
If you lose April and May and you start in June, you're still on track. What if you lose June? Now you're dipping down lower if you want to conclude at the same time you typically do. Let's pick this up with Rob Manfred's comments to ESPN. We'll do that coming up next. Here's Joe Murray with headlines.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think we need to have a regular season with a credible number of games. I think we should have a postseason format that focuses on providing the most possible entertaining product to our fans at a very, very difficult time in our history. And overall, I think our goal is to play as many baseball games as we possibly can, given the limitations associated with the public health concern.
Opening day for the Red Sox.
They would have been on the road, right?
What's that?
Yeah. They were opening in Toronto.
On the
road. Yeah,
yeah.
Yep.
Yay. Yay. well, it's not going to start.
That guy.
30 teams we're going to play today. Imagine that. 30 baseball teams we're going to play today in Major League Baseball. Doesn't feel like opening day, I can tell you that. March 26th. They shouldn't be starting on March 26th anyway.
It's still so damn cold.
Like, what is that to start that early in the year?
I was watching early local news. You go outside, it's a high of 5 locally. Like, I know it's warming up today, and it's gone up to 53 or whatever, but,
yeah,
God, it's miserable for baseball.
But most of the time, forget it. So, would have been opening day, and that's Rob Manfred from last night on ESPN. Rob Manfred says that they're obviously not going to play 162. They're going to play as many games as they possibly can. Great. That's wonderful. Except he doesn't know and doesn't have the answer as to when they will be able to start playing games. So he doesn't have a good idea on the numbers. But I'll give him this. Rob Manfred, always big on talk. He always talks a great game. He's got some proposals and ideas about how they may end up playing some of these games. Have a listen to that.
We certainly have talked about the idea of using doubleheaders to maximize the number of games that we play. I think I have said publicly before that there's some numbers in baseball you can't change. 9 innings is one of them.
I'm with you.
When I said that, I wasn't thinking about this particular crisis. So, I'm sure it's something that will get some discussion.
Okay, so 7-inning games are now in play?
Yeah, just shoehorn the whole damn thing in. The players are going to love this. Shorten their games, and then we're going to just stuff doubleheaders in everywhere. I don't know. That's
7-inning games would be awful. What is it, softball? You can't play 7-inning games. Think about all like the players' like incentives they have for at-bats and all these other statistics that they play for.
Oh, they're going to be pissed.
7 innings is – I'm out on 7 innings.
They're not going to be able to do it with their union. Their union is so damn good.
Do doubleheaders.
No, they'll be able to do it if they want to. They would just have to then scale, and I'm guessing this happens too if there's obviously less than 162 games. They're going to have to scale the incentives to however many games there are. But then in addition to that, they would have to scale it to how many innings are being played in a regular game. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So – They're probably going to have to negotiate that between the players and the league anyway. I won't be surprised if that happens. But no, why do you need to change it to 7 innings? That to me doesn't solve the problem of you don't have enough time before you get to the colder months. What does that solve? 7-inning games. You play a doubleheader and you play 2 7-inning games? Is that maybe that's what he's getting at? But I don't think that makes a lot of sense.
I prefer his idea over Boris, though. Like, Boris, what are you going to play for home field for? If you're going to play in, like, California or some other, or Houston or anything like that. What's the point of even, you know?
Yeah, that's my point earlier.
Like, why even bother?
What's your reward for being good?
What, if you're a cold weather team? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Like, it could be.
What, do you get to pick which destination you want, what bracket you want to go to? Like, that's no fun.
Yeah, I guess. I know what you mean. Because you'd rather be playing in warm weather, you'd rather be playing in a dome. So all of this is related to cancellations of season. We'll get to Manfred's comments on the Red Sox as well, because apparently the punishment will finally be coming. Troy's in Dorchester. Troy.
How you guys doing today?
Good, Troy. Wow, your phone sounds good.
You guys are holding it down, man. I'm really impressed, man. Honestly, like, every single day, no matter what, it's just, you know, it looks good, man. You guys are holding it down. I appreciate that.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
So I was worried about, they can't run baseball, football, and basketball all at the same time. Let's say everything is allowed to start in December. There's no way they're going to run all that together. It'll be ridiculous. And then I was going to say about August, you know, a lot of times people do things in August simply because they have nothing else to do. Imagine if you had an NBA championship game to watch in the middle of August. That would be sick. You know what I mean? Sitting on your boat or something, or just chilling.
You got TV on your boat?
You know?
You got TV on your boat, Troy?
No, but my buddy's got a pretty sick boat. I'm sure he's probably got a TV on it.
Well, there you go. So you can watch it on your boat.
I play music on my boat. No TV. You like reggae, Joe?
I like reggae.
You like go Cape Cod, listen to Creedence Clearwater Revival?
I love going to the Cape Cod. Yeah.
Hell yeah, man.
The Cape Cod.
You look like you would love this clam joint I have near me. You'd love lobster.
You're fat where you found with guy?
You eat all your clams, your French fries. Oh, my God.
I'm a Dennis guy.
Dennis is good. I've never been down there.
Oh, well, I'll invite you down.
You got all those miniature golf places down there, don't
Lots
you?
Of them, yes.
Yeah. I like that honky-tonk stuff. Go-karts.
Great clam chowder.
I'm going to take you to the chat room.
Yeah. Mudslides, bud. Suck a couple of them things down. Drink them standing up.
You got a tiki bar on the water, too.
Where's that?
The Ocean House.
At Dennis?
Dennis.
Huh. See, I like those in Florida. I like the feeling of having a tiki bar in Florida. It's more thatchy. Cape's not thatchy.
No. Closes too early.
Beale, you go down that way, right?
Yeah.
What's your
Dennis? Yeah. Harwich? Yeah. Down that way.
The port.
Yeah, so you've been to the port. That's your buddy.
Yeah,
Griff.
My boy Griff owns that. Yeah.
617-779-0985. We're going to get to Rob Manfred's comments about the Red Sox punishment, because I got an email today, Zoe, that sort of blew my mind, that people are angry at Rob Manfred from Tyler, who writes, "Can we put Rob Manfred on blast a little today? People say Goodell is a joke, but Manfred is 10 times worse in skating free because no one is talking about the league due to coronavirus. Not only did he let the Astros players off easy and potentially cover up the wire scheme, but his investigation on the Red Sox that was going to be done before players report to spring training is still going on. He says he hasn't had time to write the report. What kind of excuse is that?"
That's a horrible one. Absolutely.
"There's been no
horrible
games to play, and the league is paused. How hasn't he had the time during a league freeze to write a report?" So let's address that and Rob Manfred's comments. You will hear them for yourself.
Quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is.
It's not as important as you think.
Szolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, I think we're back on track. Zoe, we got you there. We're good?
Yeah.
All right, good.
We're good, bud.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. You're on Zolak and Bertrand. Zo, we were talking during that sort of messed up moment there. Manfred says he has no time to put it out, which is obviously a lie. That's not true.
It's a joke.
It's a lie. But
what have you been doing?
I mean, I'm willing, and to the emailer, Tyler, I'm willing to give him this. He may not want to put it out, given the real-world things that are going on at the moment. Couldn't that be legit?
Who's he going to offend? Like, a lot of people don't want to do things.
He's not
going to
offend me.
Okay. Like, we talked about this with the NFL season kicking off, right, with free agency, that you don't want to be announcing multi-billion, million-dollar contracts in $1 billion some league, you know? That's just not a good look. Has anybody really been hammering them for the last 2 weeks? Not really, right? Tom Brady got 2 years, but $50 million. We didn't get one complaint.
I don't understand. I just think it could be that everyone's got enough crap going on that, number one, you don't need to pile on with some punishment or make it seem like what is going on in your sport is actually important at the moment, because it clearly isn't. And
no, but it wouldn't be this without having spring training and without having those games and opening day, that now you could actually get some business stuff done on the backside of that, which is hand out a fine if somebody screwed up. I don't understand how you get bad optics out of that.
Listen, what's the difference between doing it now and doing it in 2 months if you're baseball?
I don't know. You're going to hide it more then, because you're going to be more excited about the start of the year?
No, I'm just saying, what's the difference for them? I mean, if it's the same, if they've already got it figured out.
Is it a bad look that he can't release that right now? Because say they get hammered by it and say it's a bad punishment. We're going to be talking about cheating in baseball again, and maybe they don't want people talking about that.
I think in-stadium fan reaction might be one thing. I mean, again, we talked about this just a minute ago, but, you know, the Houston Astros, they were going to get pounded, right? Who's going to be the first one to get hit? How many people are going to hit someone on the Astros? That kind of goes under the rug here if maybe at the beginning of the year they actually announce the penalty for the Red Sox, because it should be big, right? Like,
Astros really get hammered?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Other than
they did.
Other than removing your top two dogs, I mean, what the players really don't have it. They're gonna get beaten by it, but that's about it.
No, but they got hit with losing executives, losing their manager, and also the public scrutiny was through the roof.
Sure, but the players still going to function. They read two basically written reports. I said, okay, guys, good job, you're done. Go back to get ready for the draft and that, and free agency's going on. That they don't have time to be handing out fines and stuff. So. NFL's excused on this. What's he doing? Like, really? I don't understand who you're offending by putting it out there now. I don't buy that comment.
Yeah, I think he might just wait because he's got nothing to gain by doing it now. I don't think he's got anything to gain. He's only got things to lose.
You get more people to crap on your sport if you release it now. You're off the radar right now.
Right. And you know what? It's all off the radar. The Astros are off the radar, too.
Totally.
Everyone was all pissed about the app. They're going to benefit in a huge way from this.
Oh, dude, yeah. We were bent out of shape by that for about a week, and it went away. Never talked about it again.
Kevin emailed us. Kevin said the Astros will be the biggest winners. No one will seem to care about their cheater scandal by the end of all of it. And he's right. They will
benefit. Most of these scandals, you get past it now. Remember the Patriots get ramped up after the supposed Deflategate? Boy, that really hurt Brady that year, right? Brack Fresh has led us in a great Super Bowl run. People forget about it. Then you boo the commissioner on a podium. Like, nothing good came out of that for them. Meaning the team.
617.
The NFL, that's bad for the NFL.
617-779-0985, the phone number if you want to jump on board. Big Joe Murray, have you talked at all or seen the Tiger King?
I have not. I'm going to start it tonight, though.
Oh, you're going to. You are going to start it, man. You are going to get hooked.
You ever get lost in Florida, Joe, on back roads?
No, nope.
We go to this crab place. It's called Getting Crabby down in Stewart.
Mm. Save it. And Zoe, save it. Pick this up in 90 seconds. I want to hear about your crab place in Florida and the Tiger King. We'll do it after headlines. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.